I am Camille Johnson, and this is Finding the Floor. Stories and reflections of midlife motherhood, family, and finding meaning in it all. Join me as I share a little piece of my life and figure out what I want to be when I grow up. Hey friends, welcome to Finding the Floor. This is episode 183. Today we're going to continue with the book, The Anatomy of Peace by the Arbinger Institute. And we're going to, in this episode, learn more how we locate inward peace and then what we do to take action. So how to get from war to peace and then how to stay there. Okay, so I will be covering chapters 19, 20, and 21 for this episode. And if you remember last time, it was this idea of learning the metaphor of taking off our shoes, putting in a place where we can invite peace, or also in a situation where we're not inviting war. And then we got the story of Avi and how he kind of came to a peaceful resolution because Yusuf helped him find memories and he took some action and he talked about his friend Hamish and then decided to write a letter. So they're going to describe a little bit more specifically on what we do to get from war to peace. And we have that example from Avi. And then we'll get a little more an example from a story about Yusuf later on. So quick, how's everybody doing? It's like already the middle of May and fun thing happening in our family. So my son, who's on his mission, was originally called to Bolivia. But it took him a really long time to get his visa, so he was reassigned temporarily to the Ogden, Utah mission. And he's been there, I can't believe it, it's already been 11 months. And I'm recording this the day before he's supposed to leave, so he's now scheduled to leave for Bolivia. And by the time this comes out, he will have gotten there. So that's crazy! And I can't believe that he's almost been out for a year. Like, this year has just flown by. Wow, I can't believe it. So we're getting into graduation. For those of you that have seniors, it's kind of crazy. I know this month is like, I can't remember where I was reading this, but someone called it mayhem. It's just so full of stuff. I thought that was a good way to call May, because May, I think, can be busier than December, because in December, it seems like a lot more people kind of respect the time you have with your family. And in May, it's just like concerts, graduation, recitals, parties. I mean, all good things, but like it's so busy. And then you're finishing up school. And so there's all these big projects at the end and AP tests and all this stuff. So, whew, take a deep breath. And maybe today you can learn a little bit more if your heart's feeling a little unsettled or at war. You can maybe find a little more peace with what we learned today. So starting in chapter 19, which is titled Locating the Peace Within. So Avi comes and he wants to highlight kind of specifically their four steps to getting out of the box. And I really liked this quote that Avi says, it says, since the box is a metaphor for how I am in a relationship with another person, I can be both in and out of the box at the same time, just in different directions. That is, I can be blaming and justifying towards my wife, for example, and yet be living straightforwardly towards Yusuf or vice versa. Given the hundreds of relationships I have at any given time, even if I am deeply in a box towards one person, I am nearly always out of the box towards someone else. And so what he's basically saying is that we can sometimes recognize or notice when we're in the box with somebody because we might be out of the box with somebody else. We don't feel like we have to justify or blame or feel victimized because of a certain person. So Avi mentions that he was able to get out of the box when he remembered all those memories about his dad. He had all these fond memories about his dad that were not twisted or distorted with blame and justification. And I just like that idea. Like, what are some really good memories you have with an individual? And that, even just going to those memories, can help you get yourself more aware and out of the box. So Avi points out that the biggest thing they do at Camp Moriah is to have an environment that's invitational towards peace. He says, the biggest help in finding my way forward and out of the box was finding an out of the box place around me. So he mentions that Yusuf helped him find a place to get out of the box because Yusuf was out of the box with him. And he never got in the box with him. Even all the times that he was giving him a hard time, or if Avi tried to manufacture ideas of how there were offenses, there were no offenses, and Yusuf didn't resist him. And he goes on to say, he helped to create for me, as it were, an out-of-the-box place, a vantage point where I could ponder my life in a new way, free from the blame and self-justification of the box. Now remember, the box is just a metaphor, right, of how we are, our hearts at war towards someone else, and how we're using justification and blame towards another person. So the first two parts of recovering inner clarity and peace to get out of the box is, one, you look for signs of the box. So you look for times where there's blame, justification, horribleization, or those common box styles of better than, worse than, need to be seen as, or I deserve box, okay? So if you notice you have those boxes when you're with certain people, then you can notice that you're in signs of the box, okay? So then he says the second part is to find an out-of-the-box place, which can be, you could have a relationship with someone that is not in a box, and they can help you then get out of the box, or memories like Avi had, or even activities and places, which kind of reminds me of growing up in the LDS church. And even now they have what is called girls camp, where you go and go to a pretty place where you can camp, or sometimes you get to stay in cabins. And I think it's almost a way for young women to get out of their normal situation and be able to ponder their life anew. So it's almost like this out of the box place. And I think that's why a lot of people have really fond memories of girls camp, because they have been able to get out of the box. And I just think it's really interesting that we're not always out of the box. We're not always in a box, and we have out of the box relationships. And so we just need to be and look out for signs when we're feeling different things, right? Better than, entitled, worse than, or anxious to be seen as. So they point out that you might even try to identify people towards whom you are generally and currently out of the box. And if names come to mind, and simply thinking about your experiences with those people can help you take a new vantage point where then you can start to come out of the box. He said, or you might try to think of people who have had the greatest influence for good in your life. Or maybe there's a particular book or a passage in a book that always has a powerful effect on you, or even writing that invites you to get out of the box, or an activity or place that invites you to get out of the box. I think of for me, an activity might be just, I feel like sometimes when you exercise, you get those endorphins, and then you can kind of think about your problems in a different way, or they kind of don't matter as much. I notice that when I exercise. And then again, just cool out of the box places. I think of being able to go to the temple and being in a place where you begin to ponder your situation differently. And he goes on to say, this all sounds fairly basic, so this is obvi, but most people trying to find their way out of conflict and bitterness never think to do it. Finding themselves stuck in bitterness, it never occurs to them that they have access to unbitter places in every moment. So he's saying, even if there's chaos going around you, that you can access those memories. So the third step in recovering inner clarity and peace is what they say, ponder the situation anew, i.e. from this out of the box perspective. So again, the first three things to do to recover inner clarity and peace are: one, look for the signs of the box. Look for blame, justification, horribleization, and the common box styles. And again, the box is a metaphor for your relationship. So this is just as you notice your relationship with different people. Number two, find an out-of-the-box place or an out-of-the-box relationship, memories, activities, places, etc. And then number three, once you're in that place through memories or a passage or writing or talking to someone, it says, then you ponder the situation anew. So then Lou asks the question, well, how do you ponder the situation anew? And then Yusuf comes in and begins to tell him kind of the second part of his story. So we learned first a part of when he was young and how he turned his back on Mordecai, and that began his self-betrayal and justification towards Jewish people. So then he goes on to tell them that as a teen, he became part of a youth organization called the Young Lions for Freedom, which mimicked organizations coming out in the region's universities, and talks about the head of this university, like organizations, was Yasser Arafat. So, and it was funny because here in this book, this is a fictional story that is woven with like true life events. And so I was like, is this really all true and happening? So I kind of looked up, and was Yasser Arafat an engineering student? And yes, all of that is true. So all of this stuff is weaved into the history. So he could have been a person, or maybe they take an example of one of these people, if that makes sense. Yusuf quickly becomes a leader and was invited to be part of the Palestinian National Liberation Movement, or what was also known as Fatah. And its founding document states to replace the state of Israel in its entirety with a Palestinian state through means of armed revolution. He said it was an intoxicating vision for a young man bent on revenge. And this is really interesting because we are seeing this conflict very in front of us right now, today. What happened October 7th and then all these protests happening on the university campuses. So here it is again, coming back up. So Yusuf begins to tell his story, how his mom was against him being part of the fight, but he joined anyway and became one of the leaders in, it was called a cell leader in Jerusalem. And then they were gearing up in 1967 to have this big battle against Israel. And they had all these troops come in and they thought they were ready to win. But Israel apparently also found out that all this was happening and came in and defeated Fatah, or the Palestinian National Liberation Movement, and actually captured the West Bank. And this conflict was a conflict that Avi's dad was killed in. So this was really hard for Yusuf because they kind of had to regroup and start over. And also someone like nephew of Yasser Arafat came into his area and so kind of took his leadership position. And so he just felt like, I need to find another cause. That's what he said. I needed to find another cause. And so he looked towards America. And at the time, this was in 1967, but he had remembered the assassinations of John F. Kennedy in 1963, Malcolm X in 1965. So he decided he wanted to go to the United States and study and somehow become a part of the plight of the Black Americans. So he says, I was going to go to Yale or Harvard. And there was a comment like, wow, like why those are really hard college. And he's like, well, honestly, those were the only colleges I really knew of. So he shows up in New Haven just around the time of the race riots that broke out in 1967 and was also there with the Black Panther trial in 1970. So this is when he encounters this professor named Benjamin Arrig. So at this time, they watch as black protesters are being restrained by shield-carrying police who are shooting tear gas towards the crowds. And so again, he sees Benjamin Arrig, or Ben, who he calls him, and says this: despite the combustible dangers of the moment, he remained stoically still, neither joining in anger nor running in fear. His face was serious with concern. And so this is the person he kind of learns this new perspective from. So he comments to Ben, like, the oppressed are fighting back. And Ben says, yes, on both sides. He says, if you look closely, you will see the desire for tear gas on both sides. And then Yusuf comments, well, I know what they're feeling. And Ben mentions, he says, then I pity you. You have become your own enemy. So over the next 3 years, Ben began teaching Yusuf about the box and how you can and can get out of it. And then he says this: if you see people of a particular race or culture as objects, your view of them is racist. Whatever color or lack of color, or your power or lack of power. He goes on, when you begin to see others as people, issues related to race, ethnicity, religion, and so on begin to look and feel different. You end up seeing people who have hopes, dreams, fears, and even justifications that resemble your own. And so he mentions that Yusuf says, I don't understand what the problem is if people are being oppressed, if they're trying to like overcome their oppression. And Ben says this: the second group must be careful not to become oppressors themselves. A trap that is all too easy to fall into when the justification of past abuse is readily at hand. So this is how he learns to kind of overcome his tendencies or his box, especially towards Israelis. And then he points this out. He's like, what is wrong with people who are trying to like deal with the injustices? And he says, because most who are trying to put an end to injustice only think of the injustices they believe themselves have suffered, which means that they are concerned not really of injustice, but with themselves. They hide their focus on themselves behind the righteousness of their outward cause. Okay, so we have this whole backstory. And if we look back to that third thing we're supposed to do to get out of the box and find inner peace, is to ponder our situation anew. And Lou asks this question, well, how do you ponder anew? So Yusuf tells his whole story and then talks about how Ben taught him to ask a few of these questions. And so when you're pondering your situation anew, you can ask these questions. What are this person or people's challenges, trials, burdens, and pains? How am I, or some group of which I am a part, adding to these challenges, trials, burdens, and pains? In what other ways have I or my group neglected or mistreated this person or group? In what ways are my better than, I deserve, worse than, and need to be seen as boxes, obscuring the truth about others and myself and interfering with potential solutions? And lastly, what am I feeling I should do for this person or group? What could I do to help? So Yusuf said, I had never thought to consider how the Israeli people might feel burdened as well, and how I might have added to the burdens they felt, and how I too had mistreated and neglected. So Yusuf begins to lay down his victimhood in the story. He decides, well, I want to go back and visit my mom. So he goes back to, remember, he lived in Bethlehem, to visit his mom. And while he was there, he had this feeling or desire to go and try to find Mordecai. So he began to look for him, but there was no one who seemed to know him or have a memory of him. So then he met a beggar who said she knew him, and she told Yusuf that he had died. And he said, I was surprised by how badly this news hurt me. What a lonely life he led, I lamented. So many burdens, so many pains, and yet surrounded by others so focused only on their own pains. And yet surrounded by others so focused only on their own pains that they never noticed his. And in the story, this woman talks about how, I remember he just died on the street and people didn't even notice him until he started to stink, and just how sad Mordecai was. And so then she asks for money from him. And at first he kind of like balked at the idea, but then he remembered to stay out of the box. So he then asked her name and gave her some money, and he said, this is for Mordecai. So then he just talks about how the next part of really staying out of the box is action. And he, you know, Lou, he mentions to Lou, he's like, Lou, I bet you've been thinking about things that you could do to help the situation, whether with people at work, with your son, Corey, with your wife, things that you are now out of the box. And so chapter 21, which is called Action, and the last chapter, chapter 20, was called Finding Outward Peace, which was the one where we had the whole story of Yusuf's background, fighting with Fatah and meeting Ben Arig or Arig. So then this is when we find out more about Gwen, and she is Ben's daughter. She doesn't have any kids in the program, but she's come to learn more about what her father taught. It's interesting, she says, sometimes our parents are the last people we can hear, you know. My ears have been closed to my dad's ideas for years. And so it's just a really sad story. Her dad had been hit by a drunk driver and had died 6 months ago, and it was his dying wish to like come and find out more. She says, the irony has been almost too much to bear. Dad spent his life trying to help people let go of the grudges they carry about mistreatments they've received. And then he's killed by a drunk. His ideas couldn't save him from that. And this is Yusuf's response, which I think is really interesting. He says, you're right, Gwen, they couldn't. There's no way to avoid mistreatment altogether. There is, however, a way to not let your mistreatments destroy you and your peace. Even a mistreatment as hard to bear as this one must be. So he asks Gwen what her father's favorite word was. And she said, my father's favorite word was action. So they point out that in the story about Avi, to help him get out of the box and kind of be healed a little bit, he had a desire to write a letter to Hamish, and he actually did write it and sent it. Then Yusuf had a desire to go find Mordecai when he went back to visit his mom in Bethlehem. They both had the desire and then acted on it. Then he points out, like, Melee and Mike not only had the thought to take off their shoes, but they acted on that thought and actually took off their shoes. He goes on, the moment you've recovered a desire to help, you are out of the box towards the person. The question at that point is not how to get out of the box. It is rather to stay out. So he's like, "It's notice that it's not the sense of what to do, but the desire to do it. That's the issue. That desire has to come from within us. So it's not like someone is forcing us to apologize, which I think sometimes we do a lot as parents. That desire comes from within. It is something we want to do. And then he says, the whole point is then you actually follow through. He says, when we have recovered those sensibilities towards others, we must then act on them. This is why action was Ben's favorite word. We need to honor the senses rather than betray them. So the key to staying out of the box once you have found your way is to do what you're feeling you should do. It is to act on the out-of-the-box senses you are having. And he says, otherwise, you will just get right back in the box by justifying yourself that you didn't do those things that you had a sense to do. And those little things weren't really, really hard. Writing a letter, maybe saying an apology, you begin to see them again. Out of the box is that metaphor. You begin to see them as a person, just like you, with feelings. You ask those questions to help you see how maybe you could have contributed to some of these problems. And I will, on my website, I'll make sure to have all these listed. But again, it's in the book. You can obviously get all this stuff in the book. Okay, so the last thing to stay out of the box is to act upon what I have discovered and do what I am feeling I should do. Okay, so let's just really quick go over those four specific things that you can do to recover inner clarity and peace. Number one, again, you look for the signs of the box. Blame, justification, horribleization, all the common box styles, etc. Then two, you find an out-of-the-box place, an out-of-the-box relationship, memories, activities, places, etc. And then you're able to ponder the situation anew by asking questions, okay? And those questions I will list on my website. And then the last thing is to act upon what you have discovered. Do what you're feeling you should do, okay, to stay out of the box. So then at the end, and we'll get more about understanding more about how this is going to help us, like, as we help our kids change. So again, we're in the context of these family members have these relationships with their sons or daughters that are really strained. Their sons or daughters are into things that are putting them in jail or addicted to drugs or behaving in harmful ways. So Lou is like, well, once I'm out of the box, like, what good does that do if I can only change myself? So we're going to learn more about how we help invite change in others. But Yusuf's kind of last point in this chapter was, while you are correct that a heart at peace alone won't solve your complex outer problems, those problems can't begin to be solved without it. So it's kind of like you have to begin with inner peace, and then you'll be able to help solve some of the complex outer problems that you have in your life. And so that's going to be the next section that we're going to talk about next week. Okay, you guys, I hope this is really helpful. And it sort of reminds me of, like, I think that's maybe why, obviously, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. So there's, I think, times where we're prompted to do things and that we can get thoughts that will help us get out of the box towards other people. We can go to church and ponder and pray and partake of the sacrament there and get ourselves in an out-of-the-box place. It's almost like this renewal to see people as humans and to have this desire to help. So then we can kind of renew ourselves each week. And I just think that's really cool. And maybe they're bringing those concepts in a non-religious way, if that makes sense. So finding inner peace is simply being able to see people as people. Doesn't mean that you don't have worries or fears or all of that. It's this heart at peace, I guess, instead of calling it inner peace. We're not going to call it inner peace. We're going to have a heart at peace. And that means that we're able to see people as people like ourselves. Okay. Hey, guys, have an awesome week. And as always, thanks so much for listening. And I will talk to you next week. Okay. See you. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you have any questions, come by findingthefloor.com, where I will have show notes and links for anything I've mentioned today. Special thanks to Seth Johnson for creating and performing the theme music. Come back next week, and thanks for listening.